This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Together with Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, we're asking you, how are you dealing with emails that come in way past office hours, especially when someone emails you at 1 a.m. and if it's your CEO, and if it's not a very good email, it's like some bad news email. How do you deal with that? How do you keep yourself motivated at work? And also, how has your employer been keeping you motivated while you're working in the company? We've got some messages. Which one do you want to go? Twitter, WhatsApp?
We'll do WhatsApp. All right. We have two messages. There's one from Wendy. Wendy says, at least Elon Musk didn't email at 4:20 a.m. So that's an improvement. Then we have a message from Keen who says, nothing wrong with sending out an email at 1:20 a.m. It's your fault for reading it at the time. He sends it out before he forgets tomorrow, and you can always choose to read it the next day.
Okay, so this is my thing, right? The main kind of thing that the email said was that there was going to be job cuts. And if you happen to be awake at 1:20 a.m. and you get an email from, like, the boss, saying that there's going to be job cuts, I don't know about you. I'd read that right there and then. I'm not waiting until tomorrow.
You want to know what boat are you on, right?
I need to know if I'm going to sleep in tomorrow or not,
yes,
okay?
Yes, yes.
Definitely. So, should we go on to Twitter, Chris?
Yeah, on Twitter here, we've got my sire or my Siri, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, who says, whenever your superiors email you after working hours and talk about performance, it will not be a good ending, which I agree with also. We've also got Indra Veni, who says, it's quite a long one. It says basically, number one, employment is not something we can bank on and it shouldn't be a source of security. Okay, interesting. And also number two, if it's good or bad news, it depends on how you digest it. So you have the choice of how to react. And then in regards to keeping yourself motivated, it's either you're willing or unwilling. And if there are job cuts, time to move along and make the most of the situation.
Oh, wow.
Multiple avenues gone down there. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Anyways, recently, if you were on Netflix or if you surprisingly have Hulu on your services, let me know also how you're getting Hulu.
Tell us how, yeah.
But also, if you're on Netflix, you would have noticed there is a documentary that's going around. If you go on Facebook, everyone's talking about it. It is the Fyre Festival, the largest festival that didn't happen, and it's, you know, it's kind of raised a lot of awareness on how these kind of events are being organized and the amount of work that puts into event organizations that they just do so much. We as festival goers or music goers, we don't see the amount of hard work, that the labor that's put into it. And you know what? The Fyre Festival, the failure itself contained some really wild revelations, and many people were shocked at the festival's co-founder, Billy McFarland's lack of organizational skills, as well as how workers on the island of Bahamas were treated. One islander in particular, Marianne Roll, she runs the Exuma Point Bar and Grill, where many of the festival goers first appeared, and initially it looked like the good business because, you know, the people were there celebrating and they were ready to party at the Fyre Festival, and they were stuck there for a number of hours. So some, I think, were saying like 6 to 7 hours they were stuck there before they were actually moved to the supposedly luxury tent that they had. But as she revealed in the documentary, she was never paid for her services. As a result, Roll had to use $50,000 from her own life savings to pay staff members who helped at the event.
Gosh.
And she had 10 person working directly with her, just preparing food all day, all night for 24 hours. And she had to pay these people because, you know, in the Bahamas, there are not many, you know, people, and most of them are probably family or friends. And she had to, you know, face these people every single day. So it's not right for her to, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, she felt like, you know what, I will use my personal savings money here to pay off these workers, and use my credit card as well to pay for a lot of these things. And one of the commercial directors who helped promote the festival said that in the documentary, there was a group of Bahamian locals who built the festival site who were also never paid. So on January the 14th, a GoFundMe page was set up for Roll, and currently there are over 5,000 donations, and I just checked recently, it's about $183,000 have been raised. And it's one of those really feel good stories, because a lot of people really felt bad for her because she was just you know, an owner of a bar, and you know, you have an organizer from the US who's trying to do this event and, you know, taking over an island which probably was just very chilled and very quiet. Hardly anyone would go there, and even if you do, it's probably your honeymoon, and you're not gonna have, you know, like 500,000 people coming in for your festival kind of thing, right? So a lot of people felt really bad for her and decided to, like, I'm going to help you out. However, there were a few people who pointed out that, you know what, this sounds like it's a fake GoFundMe account, because it posted that the money is for Marianne Roll on behalf of Pamela Carter. So, you know, a lot of people saying that this could be fake. However, a woman who said she's Roll's daughter-in-law posted on the GoFundMe page clarifying that Carter is Roll's friend who lives in Miami, and she is running the page because Roll's Bahamian bank account doesn't work with GoFundMe, and this checks out with the GoFundMe requirements, and it's all true, because even the daughter-in-law posted the photo of, you know, both of them standing next to each other, and, you know, posting out a photo, and then you're saying, like, you know, awesome humans unite, and it is a really good, cool, sort of like a fun story to see how people actually get together over something that was just a disaster in the making.
I mean, it's really wholesome, but it also kind of makes me sad, right? Because you especially nowadays, we're hearing a lot of stories about GoFundMe being used to help people who, like, shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. You know, for example, with this lady, she totally got duped into catering for the Fyre Festival, and then you know, now with the government shutdown in the US as well, so many workers who are not getting paid by the government are using GoFundMe as a way to, you know, pay rent and stuff, which is completely insane, right? That we live in a society where that can happen and your basic needs can't be met.
Yeah, and it's good that Netflix came out with the documentary. I mean, it took a while for them to gather all that, you know, the interviews and then the evidence and stuff to sort of put into a documentary. I think a lot of people saw it. There are a lot of stuff in the documentary that a lot of people didn't know about. People who were blamed before for, you know, for not organizing this properly, and they came out and then they gave their testimonies and their side of the story. And then you get to, you find out that Billy was the only one who messed up the whole thing. Single-handedly, there's so many words to describe him with, none of them we can say on air.
I think, you know, one of the great quotes that came out from that documentary was when Major Lazer came out and said that, you know, Fyre Festival just felt like they're bringing Instagram to life. And that for me is the exact sort of reason why it failed. Because if you are trying to bring Instagram's life into life, it's just going to fail, because everything on Instagram is fake.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a similar thing back in, I think, 2012 with Tumblr, trying to create a convention for people who used Tumblr called DashCon, and it failed miserably. You know, like, they did things like advertise a massive ball pit, and it was literally just a children's, it was a children's ball pit.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
One inflatable children's ball pit in the corner. You know, they invited, like, you know, a podcast I listened to, they invited the cast of that, you know, there, but then they, like, couldn't pay for their accommodation or their travel or anything. So obviously the cast didn't show up. Then people were upset. So, you know, it's really one of those things where sometimes the things you see on the internet can't really manifest exactly the way that they are in real life.
Yeah, this was, for me, just, you know, Billy was a millennial, young entrepreneur, hotshot CEO of, you know, this Magnesis credit, black credit card company, decided to, you know, got lucky in terms of the partnerships and the networks that he had. And, you know, we here in Enterprise, we've interviewed so many entrepreneurs, and we've came across, you know, individuals who had that kind of a portrayal of that kind of a figure, like, I'm the hotshot CEO. Just because they're young and, you know, they have that kind of presence. And, you know, this was Billy, was one of those kind of guys, and he used that kind of persona to try and envision this dream that he had. But you know what? It was a failure from the get-go itself. Yeah. You just knew, you just had a feeling, this is not going to work out.
Yeah, but it's good that the people who are affected by his nonsense, at least they are getting help from the internet or from the public. You know, they are, like, stepping forward and going, let's help out these people, because it's not their fault. They had nothing to do with Fyre. They were, like, you know, vendors, caterers and stuff.
Yeah.
At least they don't have to waste their money, or they don't have to go through, like, a financial mess because of one person's mistakes, right?
Something good can work, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
That's the song we're going to play after this, actually. It's by Two Door Cinema Club.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so, but before we go to that song, we're asking you, how is your bosses, your CEO, how do they keep you motivated at your workplace? Get in touch with us at BFM Radio on Twitter, at BFM Radio on Instagram, or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be right back. As I mentioned, something good can work. Two Door Cinema Club, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.